It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. On this day back in 1975, we mark it for a second time. It's such a fine album. Toys in the Attic, released by Aerosmith. One of the great album tracks, No More, No More. Aerosmith and Toys in the Attic, released on this day back in 1975. Scott Bertram in for Steve. Very quickly, I'll come back to this, I promise, before we're done at the top of the hour. President Trump just releasing a message on Truth Social, says abortion should be left to the states, rejecting a federal ban. And I'll have details about the message coming up just after we talk with Batya Ungar-Sargon, who is with us. She's the opinion editor of Newsweek. And a great new book, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. Batya, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. It's great to be here.
This is a wonderful read with so many vivid details with your interactions of with working-class Americans from all across the country, these individual stories and reporting that has been done. You say early on, just about every interview you did, two themes pop up. One, among the working class, the value of hard work and how much it should be appreciated. And two, the skewed view with which these Americans look at people choosing not to work, choosing not to be a part of the workforce. Are those the two biggest takeaways that you have from these dozens and dozens of interviews conducted for Second Class?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I'm sure to your listeners, it probably sounds funny that somebody sort of had to fly around the country interviewing working class people, because I'm sure a lot of them are working class, but they don't understand, although they probably do, how seldom people like them get a hearing, right? In our media, in our politics, everything now in the American public sphere is so heavily weighted in favor of giving a platform to the over-credentialed college elites. And so I really wanted to bring these voices back to the table. Definitely the first piece of that, the value of hard work, was something that almost everybody interviewed brought up. They saw work through an almost spiritual lens. They got a lot of dignity and self-esteem from working really hard, and it was something that they felt connected them to their parents, who they saw work really hard, and it was something that connected them to this country. They really associated it with being an American and being patriotic. But then, like you say, they also knew people, all of them knew people who were sort of choosing not to work and to live off of welfare. And it bothered them a lot, especially because when they needed help or when people they felt were more deserving needed help, they couldn't get it or they struggled to get it. So there was that mismatch. Another really interesting sort of combination of ideas I heard again and again and again was people, whether they were working class Democrats or working class Republicans, wanted something close to a total moratorium on immigration, but also a kind of government-backed health care. They couldn't stand the idea that they worked so hard and yet felt they couldn't afford high quality health care when all of these, you know, government officials, they were effectively paying for their health care. So those two things, you see, they don't really go together if you are a college-educated elite watching cable news, right? Because we are used to thinking about, you know, one party cares about health care, the other party cares about, you know, controlling the border and, you know, policing immigration. But to working-class Americans, those things go very much together. The people I met were very pro-gay, but also very worried about transgender ideology, which, again, in the elites, those things go together, but not for the working class. I just met so many people who were deeply, deeply tolerant and very frustrated that they worked so hard, and yet the hallmarks of the American dream were totally out of reach for them.
Batya Ungar-Sargon with us, the book Second Class. You say, yes, these working class Americans, extreme moderation, tolerance, and practicality. You say they're appalled at the divisiveness of our politics. Does that lead to them completely disconnecting from politics? Do they pull the plug and say, I don't understand what's happening. I don't like what's happening. I don't like the way it's being talked about. Why should I pay attention? Or are they still clued into what's happening?
They were sort of of vaguely aware of the debates that were going on, you know, but they were disconnected emotionally from it. They were disgusted with the political polarization, especially because they are not polarized at all. So working class people live next to and pray next to and work next to people who vote differently than them, and they could not care less. Like, the idea of judging somebody based on that or hating somebody based on that is just farcical to them. So when they, but, you know, and then the polling really backs up everything I'm saying that I found in my interviews is backed up by polling. So, you know, Americans are polarized, but only when you ask them about the parties. So when they say that they, you know, don't like Democrats, they don't mean their neighbor who votes for Democrats. They mean politicians who mm-hmm. are so divisive and always fighting amongst each other and never delivering for the American people.
You talk with these Americans across the country. I don't know if we won't have a chance to. People should get the book and find these just rich, you know, rich descriptions. I love chapter two, Amy and Janet, this lesbian couple, and the unexpected twists in their perspectives. But you ask almost all of them this idea of the American dream, and they tell you this is what the American dream is for me. I was wondering, as I read, do you think that they are telling you their real, actual definition of the American dream, or have they adjusted their expectations based on what's available to them in this America? Do they really feel like the American dream is within grasp, or is it a minimized portion of the dream?
So the way that most people define the American dream, who I interviewed, was owning your own home, having enough to cover your bills, maybe a vacation once a year, having adequate health care, and that your child should have at least as many choices as you do. It was extremely, extremely modest. And yet even this modest view of what the American dream means, they felt was very much out of reach. So they would say to me, you know, maybe when I was younger, I wanted, you know, a huge house and two cars and, you know, this and that. I don't want any of that anymore. I just want the most basic stability, and I can't get it. So in answer to your question, it's both. Yes, they have moderated their view of what they want, but even the most modest view of what would make them feel stable, most working class Americans could not achieve it. Some did. There's a chapter, the first chapter is about Americans who were able to achieve that American dream, who are middle class, mm-hmm. but most of them really, really aren't. And you brought up Amy and Janet, this lesbian couple. It's so funny because their ideology, their views are almost indistinguishable from those of Linda, a Trump supporter from West Virginia. If you read those two character profiles together, Amy and Linda, there was nothing they disagreed about, even though Amy voted for Joe Biden and Linda is a Trump supporter. They had almost indistinguishable views of the world.
Batya Ungar-Sargon is with us. We will come back and talk a little bit more, especially about part two, which is about potential solutions and asking people that you've talked to across the country about potential solutions. Very interesting stuff. Second Class is the book, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. Batya Ungar-Sargon is the author. Hang on, we'll come back and talk in just a minute more with her. This portion of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by Healthy Cell Vitamins, an essential part of good health. And no matter what you're looking for, these American-made vitamins have a formula for you. Focus and Recall, designed to keep your mind sharp. The Immune Boost, to keep you in top shape to battle cold and flu season. Or a Bioactive Multivitamin to help keep you going in the active life. Take a look now at HealthyCell.com. Find the right formula for your life. HealthyCell.com. Save 20% by using the promo code Gruber at HealthyCell.com. More about Second Class next on the Steve Gruber.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes, or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com, GruberHealth.com.
At the Michigan Chamber, we're here to help our state's businesses tackle the tough issues in the legislative, political, and legal arenas so job providers can grow and thrive. We pride ourselves on our hustle, making sure no one works harder or gets more done. That's why we've been voted the most effective membership organization for 18 years running. If there's an issue affecting you and your business, we're here to help. The Michigan Chamber, on the job for you, to protect, connect, and strengthen.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber or how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.